Welcome to another episode of Real BMX Racing the Podcast. Today's show is sponsored by 110% Nutrition, BMX Connect, Answer BMX, Extreme Squared, Eddie's Blocks, with a special shout out to Toby Henderson over at Send It. Today's guest is USA BMX 1720 Men's expert rider Nate Loy. Nate, welcome to the show.
Hi, so where did you grow up?
I grew up a lot of places. My dad was in the military, so we were in Europe, in Belgium, and then We moved to Alabama, and that's where I started riding BMX.
From Belgium to Alabama, bro. Wow, yep. What a difference, man. So you were riding in Belgium already?
Like a strider, not like any BMX or anything, just on a strider.
Oh, so that was when you were backyard. Real little. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So did you start like pedal bikes right after the strider phase? Did you jump right into it?
Or
did
you take a break in
between? Or okay.
No, I think we went straight away.
And so did you ever take a break in between the time you started until now?
No.
So you've pretty much been riding racing your whole life.
Yeah. Wow. Love bikes.
That's cool, bro. That is cool.
I was going to say, so then you already knew from day one, this is what you wanted to do since you just kept doing it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, my dad rides mountain bikes, so that's really how I got into BMX. So it's just my whole family has been on a bike.
So what was the first track that you raced at? Do you remember?
Oak Mountain BMX in Birmingham, the track that Barry kind of his home track now.
Really?
Yeah.
So does he pop up at that track at all, or?
Yeah, I think he's pretty fluent at going out there a bunch, so.
That is awesome, man. We always like kind of play around with like who's the most popular guy in BMX, and I mean, we come to the fact that he is. I mean, he is. He is that guy all around the board. I mean, people love him, man. He's just a dope dude. And to have him at your home track, that is just amazing, man.
That's not my home track now. I'm in Arizona now.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I got it.
But that's where I started.
All right.
So how many tracks do you have in Arizona?
Too many. Really, the main tracks that I go to are Goodyear, which is about 20 minutes away. And then...
Oh, wow.
The track up in Phoenix, which is Black Mountain, that has the National. So those are the two that I normally go to. I mean, there's Chandler about an hour away. And then there's two tracks in Tucson that's like 2 hours. We don't usually go out there.
Okay.
And then there's just a bunch. Say again?
Have you hit the big one in Chula Vista, California?
No, I haven't. I had plans on going out there a few years ago. It just fell through, though. Haven't been out there.
So are there any other tracks that you want to race?
Any other tracks that I want to race? I want to ride Zolder again. And it's a track in Belgium.
Okay.
I rode there in Worlds 2019. Didn't do so hot. I want to ride there again.
So was that the one moment that you wish you could go back and redo?
Yeah.
Because there's always moment for races. You're like, man, that one race, bro, I wish I could just redo that over. It always plays in your head, you know? It's like.
Yeah.
And that was a Worlds?
Yeah, 2019 Worlds.
Are you racing Worlds coming up in 20, I mean, you know, in a couple months?
No, I'm not. About a month ago was our Nat Champs, or like 2-3 weeks ago.
Okay.
I crashed Friday and then times on Saturday. Ooh. So I didn't finish out the weekend on Sunday, which just killed all shots at going Worlds. I think I'm the injury reserve guy, but probably not.
Okay, cool.
Man, that broke my heart, man.
Right? Yeah, you know, you fall twice on Saturday.
I mean, not that. I mean, I hope you're okay with the fact that you can't race Worlds because of that. And, you know, like how, you know, sometimes I see like guys racing right before a big event, like at a smaller event. And I'm like, oh, why are they racing? But you kind of have to, you know, I get that part.
That was our national champ. So those three races, you had to race. That's what they were judging it off of for juniors. Mm-hmm. So I just couldn't get it done.
It's all right. It's all right. It's in, it's not here. You know what I mean? It's Southern Carolina. So, you know, South Carolina. We don't, it's all right.
Yeah.
We want to go out of the country when we race. Like, we don't go America.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I was telling, Shannon. I'm like, dude, it's like, what you do? I'm like, I wanted to go to Paris when they had it there. I know I wasn't going to win anything, but at least I could tell people I work with and everybody. I'm like, my bike in Paris. You know, I kind of do things every now and then, you know? So, yeah, when you tell me racing, huh?
We'll shoot for Denmark next year.
There it is.
I think that's where it is next year.
Oh man, that'll be dope.
So how old are you now?
I am 17. I turned 18 in July.
Oh, right there.
Okay. So you're still kind of fresh in the 17 to 20 expert group.
Yep.
All right, cool. I mean, what's your plans moving forward?
Well, I plan on going to college next year, or I guess. Okay. Later this year.
Mm-hmm.
So I think my parents want me to do, I think we're maybe all 4 years and then go pro. But I'm definitely going to finish out 17-20 before anything happens. Try to get a cup. That'd be cool.
That would be cool.
Are you going to Marion College?
No, it's just a local college here that my dad and sister went to and graduated from.
Okay. So
it won't be like a BMX collegiate school.
So, I mean, how often do you train now?
Well, right now I'm still kind of recovering from Rock Hill, but usually every day.
Really, I mean, 7 days a week?
Yeah, here it's easy ride every day at a track. So just as much as I can, really.
And so you'd be able to keep that up when school starts?
Oh, yeah. Go,
all right.
Yeah, like I'm still in high school now. And then I'm riding, going to the gym.
Wow.
Sometimes I wonder, like, how many of you guys, like, homeschool and are able to just, like, pretty much like live on the road. I mean, I know some of you guys, 17 to 20 X, I mean, even the younger guys, they kind of live on the road. They do their school remotely and, you know, that's just what they do. You know, they just travel in the RV all the time, you know, doing every national, everywhere they are, you know?
A lot of us are on like online or something.
Yeah.
I know there's a few that still go to like actual school, but I would be in actual school, but like my principal was like, you're gone too much. We're going to like take away all your credits. And they pretty much kicked me out. So I had to switch if I want to keep riding.
Right. Makes sense.
Yeah.
So what are you going to school for?
It's just high school. It's just, for college?
Yeah. Like, what do you plan on taking?
It's like a computer, like a cybersecurity type of thing.
Okay.
Money in that.
Stuff with computers.
Very cool, man.
The one thing I was going to ask you too is, so you had your injury at Rock Hill. What exactly happened and how hurt did you get?
Well, the crash on Friday was third round of junior where I hit my head pretty good. And then I got up from that. And I was like, all right, I'm still good. Didn't really get any scrapes. And then the next day, I smacked my shoulder very hard. And I was like, oh, I just got to push through, keep going through the weekend to make Worlds. Like two laps later, hand comes off the bar and the pro third straight. And it's just, I was over it.
Oh,
I couldn't. It was a scary one. Had some of the USA BMX guys say just like, you need to stop. And I was like, oh, Yeah. Yeah. So three pretty good ones. I think the first one just led to the next and to the next. But
I mean, how quickly do you come over that? Like, you know, do you yeah, I mean, for me, man, I crash. I think about it for the next couple of years, man. You know, like, not, you know, like to race that day. If I crash in practice or if I crash in a lap during the day, I'm done. Like, my day's done. I'm packing up. I'm going home. That's my sign, man. Like, yo, take your butt home, bro. Like, it's not your day. You guys got to keep pushing through. Like, how do you wake up the next day after having, like, a significant crash on Friday, wake up on Saturday, crash again, and then line up again? How do you, you know, how do you overcome that? Is that somebody like in your ear talking to you? Is that something you have within yourself? You know, you could talk yourself through it, or like, what's that process?
You just got to keep thinking on the goal that you're trying to do, and just, it hurts a lot. Pop some ibuprofen, some Advil, and just keep going. Get in the gate.
Yeah, that's mental strength right there.
It is. You know, and how, you know how I decided to look at it sometimes also? Is saying that, you know, I think I told Everett this also. I was like, crashes are rare. Like, you know, yeah, during the day, you're going to see a bunch of crashes. But, like, for people that race, like, they don't crash all the time. Well, we had a guy at Octatrack that used to crash all the time, but that's rare also. But listen, like, you don't really crash all the time. So it's rare. So, like, you know, if I crash, I'm like, all right, good. I'm going to not crash probably for a while now, you know. Yeah. That's kind of how I go about it. It might be the next moto. I don't know. But, you know, that's what I have in my head, that that's rare. It doesn't normally happen. Just go for it again, bro. You know?
Yeah.
But I'm not your age also. So, you know, like true. We crash. Yeah. We might lose our houses, our cars, like, you know, out of work, you know, in debt, you know? Yeah.
We're at the age where if we get squirrely enough, we're contemplating life. Like, do we really need to be on our bicycles out here? Like,
We said that to you so how many times? What are we doing? Why do we do this, bro?
Right? I can't tell you times I got up in the gate, looked around, and I was just like, I don't know if I feel this right now. Like, I just, you know. And then the butterflies kick in really good, and you're like, oh, here we go.
And I'm sure you have your days too, like better days than others, you know. But you got to get up in there and do what you got to do. I mean, was there ever a time in your career that you just wanted to kind of like throw in the towel and be like, yo, I don't want to do this no more, or take a break? You say you didn't take a break. Was there ever a time that you kind of wanted to, but then just push through?
Well, like when I first started ratting, I wasn't like fully into it. Like when we went to nationals, we would like only race that. This was back when I was only a 2-day national.
Okay.
So I was like, we would drive to the Saturday, race the Saturday, and then just hang out in the city on the Sunday and then drive back home. But about, I don't know when we started getting like seriously competitive in it, but then it just no stops. Cause when I was a kid, I did all sorts of sports. Just, I always liked riding bikes as well. And then just after that, locked in, no, nothing else, straight bikes.
So when you say all sorts of sports, like what sports are we talking about? And how did you have time to play any other sport, man, with everything else going on? But go ahead.
Well, I did like, I did everything. I did soccer. I did some like martial arts thing, basketball, everything.
That's awesome, man. I wish more kids would. Sometimes we, you know, we'll interview somebody that's maybe your age and they never even played another sport, man. They just rode bikes, which is cool too. You know, they love it, and you know, but I don't know, man. I played a couple of different sports, and I just, you know, just think it's an advantage if you have in the past, you know, when you ride.
Yeah. You gotta get the variety in.
Yeah. And just expose yourself to it. So, man, you know, like just say BMX, you can't race. Maybe you want to play pickleball or something. I don't know. Who knows? I'm gonna start playing pickleball once my ankle gets better, I swear.
So, okay, so you play basketball. How tall are you?
Oh, I'm short. I'm like 5'9".
Okay, okay.
Taller than me.
Do you do plyometrics?
Little.
Like strength training, all that power movements and jumping. Yeah. So, because I watched the guy do all that, and he's, you know, he's kind of been more than 5'9", 5'10". You know, when I saw him dunk a basketball, he was the weirdest looking, like, jump that I've ever seen. But he did it so effortlessly. It looked like, you know, Mario from Nintendo. He just boing and just dunked. Yeah. And I was like, what the heck? You can do that? And he just started laughing at me. He was just like, plyometrics. And I was like, dang.
Yeah.
So you think you could probably be done?
Absolutely not. That's high up there, man.
Right, right.
Okay, yeah, I was out of the court. I was out of the court yesterday with my nephew just looking up, and I'm like, bro, no way. Like, I used to just be able to touch the rim, you know, just like, you know, get my fingers over it just a little bit sometimes, but yeah, never dunking.
Yeah.
Good old days. So when you're training to go into a national, do you have like a meal plan? Do you change your diet up before you go in, or is it just, are you on a regimen, or you just eat whatever you like?
I eat whatever I like. I mean, obviously, I need to get my protein in. Like, I have a pretty healthy diet already, mm-hmm. but I got a sweet tooth. I gotta stop. Nothing changes.
Okay. So you don't have a problem eating on the day of the nationals? Like, you're not like how some people just, they're like, I gotta have an orange and a protein bar, and then they're like, I can't eat. So, but yeah, you can eat like, you can eat, you're good.
Yeah, I'm good.
Nice.
So how nervous do you get like on the days leading up to a big race or the day of a big race? Are you nervous at all? Because that's usually what stops people from eating, you know, those nerves, man. They just like, bro, I'm not hungry. I can't eat, you know?
Yeah, I don't get too nervous for a race. not a lot makes me a whole lot nervous until like get a little sketchy and be like, all right, I need to calm it down. But like, nah, just standing on the hill, good. You had your practice, got them all out, got the track dialed, and then racing's race.
Very cool, man.
So how many laps does it take for you to get used to a track?
It depends on the track. Like Rock Hill, it was my first time there since mm-hmm. 2017 for that world.
Right.
So that track took me a while. I never did a berm jump before then. Never did that third straight. So that took me a while. More than usual. But like a track, like a local track, nothing too serious. No 8 meter, just small hill. 3 laps, 4 laps. Yeah, Rock Hill, yeah. That was the first time it's like, all right, that's kind of scary.
So with that berm jump, did you have to roll up to it and just say, hey, I'm going to go for it? Or do you kind of roll a little bit to see if you can? Like, how do you approach something like that?
So for that race, I showed up Sunday. USA Cycling was holding some like training camps for us, mm-hmm. for the people that were, I think, top 4 or whatever in our points. So it really depended on the wind. The wind was pretty good all week and weekend. So you got to get the first 2 clean, and then the berm jump is just easy after that.
Oh, okay.
Because it looks like it just sends you over, and but when you mentioned the wind, there was an issue with wind. I think it was a couple years back, right? A bunch of pros fell, and then a couple of pros didn't even race the next couple of laps. They went home. It was way too windy, man.
Yeah,
and people just wasn't even going for it. It was way too risky.
Yeah,
that was the day I was going to send it too, because I was like all about it. What are you shaking your head for, man? I was going.
The only thing he sends is emails, bro. He ain't sending nothing. He's never sent his bike. If he sends his bike somewhere, it's to get fixed, whatever, because he doesn't work on his own bike. That's it. That's
the only I was thing about to, but it was windy that day.
Oh, well, speaking on that, do you work on your own bike?
Yeah, mostly.
And how did you learn?
My dad making me, probably.
Good for your dad, man.
Yeah.
Was he your coach kind of like, you know, when you started? I mean, of course, like, you know, nobody immediately is going to have a coach when they're a kid. But, you know, was he like into your race career in the beginning?
He was. I never really had like a coach, but okay. He was like kind of like going to the gym. He's telling me to do certain things and then sprints. The first like real coach I kind of had like to help me on the track and like skills other than, mm-hmm. than just like riding with older people and just chasing them was there's a guy in Florida named Jaime. It's like Nieto is his last name.
Okay.
So he was like the first real coach that I had.
Okay. Wow.
And so did your dad race? I know you said he rode mountain bikes. Did he race mountain bikes? Was he competitive?
Yeah, he rode mountain bikes, and then when my sister used to ride BMX when we started,
mm-hmm.
so we forced him to get on a bike and try. And I think he stopped riding after he crashed my sister on accident in a turn.
Oh my god! Get out of here! And he was how like, did that yeah, happen? In like I'm practice done. Or something, man?
Yeah, I don't even know what happened. I think they were just going in a turn slow. Like they were just doing a first straight and then going through the turn, just fell over in the turn.
Jeez, wow. Man.
But yeah. So he hasn't been on a bike since then, or at least on a BMX track.
But that was a good thing for you guys to do was to force them, you know, because I think that everybody that if you're going to tell your kids or even suggest anything right. to them as far as the yeah. track, like you got to get on that bike yourself and race.
Yeah.
Or at least get on the track and ride around a little bit so you can stop telling your kid to like pedal through a rhythm section or like just dumb stuff that I hear parents doing, you know. It's like, hey, no, they're not supposed
I've
to do
seen
that.
Ronnie you know? Kim do it.
Well, listen, man, I've seen that also. I talk about that often, bro. I really do because it amazed me. I'm like every like half a pedal down every backside of every yep. rhythm. You know, oh my God, yeah. He and didn't lose any speed. That was amazing to me, man. I've never seen anything like that before. I don't know who else does that, but I know I saw him do it a few times. And I think, and matter of fact, I think the first time I saw him do it was in Arizona. It was like. For some reason, I'm thinking of an Arizona National. It had like the highway in the back. I don't know what track that was, but yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. I don't know how he does it. I've asked him. No, no clue.
Does he even know, man? He's probably just doing it. Doesn't even really realize he's doing it.
He's like, I just do it. I just pedal. I'm like, you should not be pedaling.
Yeah, because who does that, man?
Right?
Little kids.
right. What gear are you running?
I'm on a 44/16 with a 175 tire on the back.
Oh, wow.
So pretty standard gear.
Okay.
Is that the gear you just run across the board at every track?
Yeah. I never change my gear leading up to a race. I know a few people that they change it a lot. And I don't understand it.
I don't understand how you don't. Like, really? You guys tripped me. Yeah, you guys tripped me out. Well, because I came from an era, I guess. I think pretty much a lot of us did back, you know, I'm talking about like early 80s, you know, when I yeah. first started racing, you know. And yeah, I brought around a bag of gears. I would look at a track and say, oh, that's a 42/16 track or that's a 43/16 hill or whatever. You know, we would just know yeah. what gears to ride. Some of them were downhill tracks. We could put on a harder gear. Some of them were flat, you know. But yeah, we change gears all the time. And probably 90% of you guys, you know, after you reach a certain level, you don't change gears. You ride the same gear every track.
Yep.
So I get it, you know.
There's probably only like one track I would change it for, and that'd be Nashville, Music City. I might go to a little bit higher for that just because of that first straight. Yep.
I got to go this year. I've never been to that track, but I've seen races and I've just heard of that first straight. And I probably won't even race because I'm scared and I'm still injured kind of. So, yeah, I'm just going to watch the action coming down that first straight because I heard
it's a fun track.
Definitely.
So what's your I mean, did we ask your favorite track? Do you have a favorite track?
For a while now, it was Music City. I really liked that track growing up.
Okay.
Now, I don't really know. I do like the old Kentucky, the Derby okay. City, before they rebuilt.
Mm-hmm.
I really, there was a lot of things to do. There was Pro Set, Big Hill. I really like that one. But
have you ever raced Cruiser?
Yeah.
And this, not anymore?
This is the first year I stopped. So last year was...
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I didn't get Nag one last year, but the 2 years before that, or 3 years, I was Nag one consecutively. And then nice. top 10 national.
Very good, man. Yes. And so why did you stop? Concentrate on the 20?
I just wanted to get more time, like, because I'm racing on Big Hill. Like, the past few years, I would never practice on a cruiser. It was just there for extra laps. And now it's just, I'm doing junior and then open sometimes even. It just, might as well just focus on the one bike.
So, I mean, I was told, like, you know, if you have a 20, you have a cruiser, you race both, just bring the 20 to the track to practice. When you get on the cruiser, it's like, you know, you're good, you know.
Yeah, pretty
much. That's always how it's been for you? Like, you just never practiced with the cruiser?
I practiced with the cruiser probably like a week before the national. And then pretty much for me, it was just not leaning back as far on manuals for like longer manuals. Because you'll hit your butt and then you'll over the bar.
Yeah. So, oh, yeah.
Other than that, it's same bike, really.
See, and everybody knows that can happen, you know, and then you see the guys that ride with the butt guards, and then you have the guys like, what do you need a butt guard for? And we're like, so he doesn't do that, bro, you know? because that looked like it hurt, doesn't it? You know, and we're older guys, too. Like, you don't want your ass to hit the tire, flip over the bars. Like, now your ass is hurting, your face is hurting. Like, everything hurts, bro. It's just, and I have a cruiser now, and I have to put one of those guards on it. I don't know if you rode with one, but
no,
it sounded like you didn't. But yeah, I think those are the best inventions ever for cruisers, man, because I think that they're absolutely necessary, you know, because, yeah, that tire is right there, bro. Shaking your head like you know what we're talking about. We're talking cruisers. You don't know nothing about this, man.
I started back with the cruiser. What are you talking about?
Right. That's right.
Man, I was way in the back, but I was on the cruiser.
This dude is like, how tall are you, E?
6'1", something like that.
Yeah. And I grabbed the bike from him. He sold me a bike because I started getting into kind of like flipping bikes and stuff, right? So I grabbed the bike from him. I was going to resell. And I looked and he had like 170 cranks on it. I'm like, yo, bro, I was like, you was racing with this? I said, like, you're 6'1". You ride 170 cranks? He's like, I didn't know.
Just bought it off a guy for $400. You just go out there and
So what size? Let's do a little bike check with you, man, if you don't mind. Like what size cranks do you rock?
I am on 175s.
Okay, and what size frame do you ride?
I am on a double XL with like the back wheel all the way maxed out.
Okay.
So I'm on a long bike.
And it feels better, right? I mean, everybody says the longer bikes feel better, man.
I really don't know. I just like riding a bike. I'm good with anything, really.
That's, you know what, man? I think I wish more people were like you, man, because it just seems like I'll just hop on a bike and adapt, bro, you know? And everybody else is like, hold on, let me break open the chart. Hold on, let me measure my inseam and do this. Like, you know, it's like the science project, bro, trying to get a bike.
Yeah, really, for me, it's just whatever feels good. And I've been on this bike for a year now. It's just
okay.
Yeah.
So when you did have your cruiser, did you try to set your cruiser up like your 20 to make it feel similar? All right.
It was completely different.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. I mean, some people try to set it up the same. Some people, yeah, they same answer. You know, it's like they just they get on their cruiser and adjust their cruiser to where it feels good. 20 inches is something totally different, and they, you know, which is cool, man.
Did we ever talk about bar size? Did I miss that?
No, I didn't ask.
Okay. I was like, my brain just skipped out for a second. So let me figure out what just happened. My bad.
Yeah, so what bar size do you ride with?
I think I'm on 7.5s with back sweep.
Okay.
I know I have back sweep. I don't understand how people ride the flat iron bars. I can't do it. I've tried riding people's bikes. I hate it.
I mean, those guys swear. Yeah, those guys swear you can get more pull and more torque and all this other stuff. I'm like, man, my arms freaking feel crazy. I started going with a more back sweep bar now, and it feels so much better, man.
So much. I mean, I've talked to a lot of people about it. I've talked to Cam about it a lot, and he swears it helps, but I can't.
I don't know. Yeah.
When you go to a national, do you ever get to go back and like hang out with anybody else on the team or anybody like any other team? Do you like try to get tips from anybody?
From the first two nationals in Florida, I went by myself and stayed with Donovan and Tracy in the toter home thing.
Okay.
And so I was there all the time hanging out. I've been friends with Drew for a long time, so he's always good to ride with and hang out with.
Cool.
Are you comfortable enough with him where you could like ask him like advice on bike riding, or does he just like, you know, give you stuff like to work on, or the other way around? Do you guys like, you know, point other things out?
I was definitely asking him some few questions about Rock Hill, and then obviously I can ask Donovan. He's coach, so.
True.
Who is like your favorite rider to watch? It could be amateur, pro, female, male.
A lot of people that I ride with now make fun of me for this because I don't know anybody in BMX. I don't know anybody. I know a few. Obviously Barry was good riding up, but
yeah.
I don't really know anyone else.
No Barry. Ain't nothing wrong with that, man. It sounds like you just focused on what you need to do, man.
Yep.
You know, whatever everybody else is doing, that's fine, but I need to get better and win. And I get it.
Are you trophies or stamps?
Stamps.
All right. At Grands, are you trophies or stamps?
If I win at Grands, I'll get the trophy. These two back here are Grands trophies.
Nice.
But no more trophies. They're not even trophies anymore. They're plaques.
Yeah.
I have the Black Mountain one because I was on it.
Oh, cool, man.
That's dope. Usually just stamps.
I think that's a good idea that they did that, you know, because there was a couple of trophies I got from a national and it had like some of our hometown riders on it. And I was like, hold on, can I switch this for that one, man? I want to get one with my friend on it, you know. That was awesome, though. Yeah.
So who are all your sponsors right now?
Right now is just the team has sponsors. I'm just the team, LSG, Send It. So we have our helmet, 6D, and then all of our like gear and all that is Thor. Okay. Like goggles, gloves, pants. We don't have a shoe sponsor right now. I know we're working on one. Okay. I don't exactly know who that will be, but
who'd you like it to be?
Oh, I this is another thing that I don't like about BMX. People spend so much money on shoes. I have some like $100 Amazon shoes, and they work just fine. People spend like $600 on some Shimano's, and I'm like, you don't need that.
Well, you might have to send me the link to those Amazon shoes then or something, man. Shoot.
Isaac. Yeah, but the rest we got ODI. Before joining the team, I'm good friends with all the people there. So that's a good one. Box. Oh, Lord, I'm going to skip some people. Oh,
that's all right. I was going to say, well, one of the questions I was going to ask you is when it came to joining like a team or, you know, for a sponsorship, did they seek you out or did you seek them out?
I don't seek teams. So they hit me up. I've only been on three teams my whole career. I've been racing for 10 years now.
All right.
When I joined USA BMX. So the first team I was on was just like a local Southeast team. And then the second one was Fire. And that was just a local team here. Okay. They wanted me. So I've joined them for 2 years, a year. And then and this is my first year on LSG.
Okay. So are you one of the ones that would say if a kid was coming to you and say, oh, how do I get on a team? How do I get on a team? Would you want to just tell them, go out there, put the work in, and they'll come find you? Or do you figure like now under the yeah, so you said that as far as like going after a team or something like that, you just like you said, when Nationals let you ride and do for itself?
Yeah. I mean, having a social media is definitely a big part of it, just to let the people contact you and all that, but just keep riding.
I mean, because, yeah, when you win Nationals, people know, right? I mean, it's a big thing. You know, they can look at this, go back and look at races if they want to see who's winning and not, and, you know, whatever. Yeah. So, I mean, so when you're on, like, a professional team, just say, right, just football, basketball, when the team starts losing, the coach is out of there, right? They get rid of the coach. That won't happen in BMX, you know, but just say, like, would they ever get rid of a guy on the team if he's, like, just started doing bad? Like, would they drop somebody from the team, like, mid-season if they're not winning anymore? Or, like, not even, like, you know, maybe it seems like they're putting in less effort or?
I think if you're starting to not do as great and you're not putting in any work to get better, to start making those mains and winning potentially, then maybe, probably. If you're not putting in any of the effort, you're not really you're just there just to get motoed. Yeah, I would say you're gone.
So how would you feel if you were on a team with somebody like that? Like, you're putting in all the work, you're doing everything you got to do to stay on the team, and this guy's not, but he's still on the team.
I personally don't care, but like team sheets, I know some people, LSU is a fairly big team. There's always going to be someone for a team sheet for these team races. So, I mean, for the teams that are like smaller and there's a guy working on getting in the main every time, getting a good score for the team sheet, while there's other people not even like trying, I would get probably a lot frustrated, more frustrated.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
I mean, do you have like younger kids coming up to you asking you like for advice? Is that something you like doing? Or are you like, yeah, kid, get away from me, man?
I don't talk a lot. But no, I've definitely had some younger kids, not on the team really, but like new riders at our tracks have definitely come up to me, and I'm happy to help. So,
and as a team rider, right, are you obligated to wear the jersey like whenever you're out at a track, or do you just do it because, you know?
I assume you are obligated to, but I just. Why not wear the jersey? I mean, you have it. You're representing your team.
All right. So now that we're talking about jerseys, we always ask. this is started with Everett, man. Well, it kind of started with me, maybe, right? Oh, no, I don't know. Anyway, so if we can, we asked riders if we could get a jersey from you. If you have like an extra jersey from previous years, it doesn't.
Yeah.
So
I got it. Let's see.
I got an autograph.
What's this one? I have a bunch of like Nathan ones that y'all can have.
All right.
I can do two if you want.
Nice. I think we'll probably end up meeting them up.
Well, yeah. That's cool, man.
That's dope. I like
that. Hell yeah.
That's your one of them.
So, great. Yeah. So what we should probably do, I mean, would you be willing to ship if we sent you the money? Sure. I mean, because I don't know how else we'd be able to get them, right? You know,
yeah,
like,
it might be a while. Tennessee.
Yeah, yeah, I want mine now, man.
Yeah. No, definitely.
So the only other jersey I personally have now is Drew Polk's jersey. So I hit him up a while ago. We share the same last name. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of why it's funny. And so a bunch of people at one point thought I was his father. Funniest thing, bro. And I told you I started selling used parts. So some of these people think they're buying like used parts from Drew Polk's bike, whatever. I don't tell them that's what it is. You know, if they ask, yeah. I'll tell them no. But if they don't ask, I'll just leave it alone. You know, yeah. Good luck with the.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that would be awesome though. So yeah, after this, we'll make sure we connect and make sure we can send you a few dollars for shipping, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. One of the things I was gonna ask you too. So what's your favorite movie?
I don't watch too many movies.
Yeah, no writer watches movies.
Nobody has time like you, man.
I guess not.
Let me think. I'll think of something.
Maybe a comedy.
It could even be a documentary. It could be whatever, yeah. You know.
I don't know.
Rad, bro. Some.
I don't even watch too many documentaries. I know Donovan and Drew are big on documentaries and like just the motivation aspect of them, but I'm just cool.
what about music?
I like music. Yeah. Listen to a lot of music.
Like hip hop, country.
I like country. A lot like country, rap, hip, pretty much everything.
Okay.
I mean, country has like really taken off these last few years. I've noticed that, especially with like people that normally wouldn't listen to country. You know, it's just, yeah, it's a lot different now than what it was.
Soothing.
And it's just like everything is in it now. Like there's a little hip hop in it. There's a little dance stuff in it. There's a little rap. I mean, pop, you know, the whatever. It's like R&B. Yeah. It's just not like just country, like the country, traditional country that we know, you know? Yeah. So that's why I think everybody's kind of into it now, you know? I mean, you drive through certain like hoods that normally you would just hear hip hop, you know? And like, but then you drive through, you hear some young kids listening to country. You're like, what the hell is going on over here? But it's just, yeah, it's different, and I'm glad, you know, it's cool. I mean, is there any like thing you would put on to motivate you, like to go to the gym, like while you're in the gym or before a race? Is there any like song or artist that really gets you going?
No. That I get made fun of this too. Before like my Grandsman last year or 2 years ago, and I think I was listening to Zach Bryan, and they're like, "That's some sad music, man." Like, you're about to get in the main at Grands and listen to that. Like, yeah. So,
getting the gate crying.
Right, whatever moves you.
Nah, I don't really like have to listen to a certain thing to just there.
Can you hear what's going on while you're racing? Do you hear the crowd? Do you hear the announcer? Do you hear other riders? Do you just like? All right.
No, you got to listen. Definitely like seeing shadows, and then if the announcer starts going crazy and you're about to be in a turn, Drew Polk's behind you, you're getting blasted.
Oh, yeah.
So
you know that.
You got to be prepared. Yeah. You got to listen.
17 to 20 is a monster class right there for some reason. It's like, to me, it's like it's pros, and then 17-20 women and men's is just like literally like right there with them. Do you feel like you how many nationals have you won in 17-20?
I'll be honest. It's not very high. This year, I have won one race in Punta Gorda, Florida. Then last year, I think I had a few. I think I had four, maybe.
Okay.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, not too many.
I mean, you may not think so, but I mean, when you really look at it, man, you guys have like 80 guys in your class, yo, and they're making it to the main and winning. Yeah, just to make names,
no doubt. No doubt. Yeah. So one question though, here, hold on. I want to show this. Go from that to, let's see here, this.
He's going to show me.
Got another one coming our way. Here we go. 1720's barn off out of that second turn. Third straight away. Who's got the horsepower? Keeping things going on. The Terminator, Loy Zimmerman, going to go 1-2. Driving it back down the line. Kaiser on that three spot. Oh, out of the last turn. Here we go. Loy still got it wrapped up right there. Zimmerman on that two spot. Back to the stripe. Oh.
Say
that again.
How'd you feel about that race?
I was angry that those two weekends. I was not very happy.
Gotta love the results, though.
Oh, I got a little lucky, but yeah. that was the last day for me to do anything for the 2 weeks I was gone. That was the Sunday of Punta Gorda, and I just saw, I think it was the inside rider, which was Andrew Herrera, just kind of get tangled up with Matt Wirtz on the outside. And I just saw the opening. Just no one's beating me. I'm in front. no one's beating me. Yeah.
There you go. See, you got the speed to do that. Because I tried that at Rock Hill one time. And I remember one guy fell and I passed two guys. And I was like, I just got to hold my spot. I'm going. All of a sudden, I look, I see, nyoom, and I was like, oh, okay. So, I thought I was going fast.
Actually, it almost happened in that race in the last turn.
Zimmerman, right?
Lucas Zimmerman went on the inside.
You, bro.
Yeah,
if I didn't take the crank in the turn.
Exactly, I saw that. Yep.
No, held it off.
Inches, bro. That's talking inches sometimes, you know? Yeah.
Right. That's what racing is all about right there.
Those turns were not very big anyway, so.
That track was fun, though.
Yeah, how do you like going over that bridge? It looked like you rode it a little wide going into the bridge. I'm like, oh, snap. I've seen a dude hit that pole. I think there's like poles on each side of that bridge. I'm pretty sure I've seen a video of a dude hitting a pole.
And that was Andrew Herrera on the second day or the first day. There was a huge crash on there, and it was a slick bridge. The turn was slick, or it wasn't really slick, but it was small. It was easy to go over if you went too far inside. And then it was not a fun time. But yeah.
Did you move up quickly into expert once you said you started to like actually focus on racing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably in the first year, I was expert, or maybe two.
Were you winning a lot when you first got into expert?
At locally or nationally?
Nationally.
Nationally, I didn't get my first win till 3 years ago, 4 years ago. So. Okay. Definitely not.
So how do you – so if you were talking to a bunch of kids in that age group, what would you say to them to keep them motivated like you were to continue to push through it and it does get better on the other side?
You just keep working. Get the skills up. That was, like, a big thing for me. I just didn't have the skills. Like, when I moved to Arizona – the end of 2019, I didn't know how to double manual. Now I can manual straights. So you just keep working, keep bettering yourself, and then it'll happen sooner or later.
How much did your dad push you, like when you were riding? Was he that was
he didn't really push me at all, I don't think. I don't know. I've hit my head a lot in the past few years. I don't really remember too much. Never had a great memory, but no, I don't really remember him pushing us at all. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's always wanted us to do good, but it wasn't really a you have to do this or we're not doing this anymore. Just something for us to have fun and, I don't know, just stayed in it. So,
I mean, I always say that's the bottom line. And when I see parents yelling at their kids because they didn't do some well, it's like, that's not the move.
Yeah.
You know, like you want to have a relationship with your child after all this racing is done.
Yeah.
And, you know, don't yell at your kid because he didn't win. You know, he tried his butt off, you know, but.
Right.
No. The only time he'll really get mad at me is like maybe I miss a moto or.
That's justified.
missing motos, bro.
During Rock Hill, he got pretty mad. Or not mad, but if I keep crashing, he'll like, you need to stop crashing. I don't want you hurt, kind of thing. So, right.
Yeah.
He doesn't really get too mad.
Okay, that's good. Sounds very supportive.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And do you drive? Do you have your license?
Yeah.
Yes, you drive yourself to the track now?
Yeah. Yep.
That's cool, man, because, I mean, that's usually the point where people, that's it for racing for them, you know, especially if they race as a kid. They turn 15, 16, they get a car, they get a license, and it's like BMX is the last thing on their mind. They want to go hang out and cruise around and da-da-da, you know, so but that's cool that I see people pushing past through all that, you know, and you probably have friends that gave up and, you know, did exactly that, you know. But yeah, that's awesome that you stuck with it.
Indeed.
I mean, what's the big goal? What's the big plan?
The big plan was Worlds this year, but that kind of got thrown out. So now it's really just get my nine more wins and get NAC one. Win grands. Get into the NAC five and then win grands.
There we go. Sounds attainable.
So, and also, man, like your age is like, it's an awkward age kind of, you know, like you're a teen, but you're a young man, you know, and a lot of kids going through, you know, depending on, you know, how their family structure is, you know, they might be going through a lot of things, you know. And then sometimes like at that age, your parents might cut you off, like tough love, you know, say, you got to get a job, you got to support yourself. You know, if you want extra pants, you got to, you know, do that, da, da, da. Yeah, just I forgot where I was going with this, man.
Yeah, where are you going? <What's that?
laughs> but yeah, that's awesome, man. That's awesome that it seems like you just kept your head straight, bro, and just like, you know, you didn't let all that other stuff get to you because it could, you know, it really could. Yeah. And like mental health issue, we talk about that all the time, and that's kind of where I was going with it. And now that I think about it, but mental health issues is like really big, and I mean, how are you doing, like, personally, like, in your life? Do you feel like you're going through stuff and, like...
Nah, I'm just wake up, eat food, go to the gym, do school, go to the track.
Keep it easy, brother.
Done.
Keep it easy.
Could be. I mean, because I feel like that's, like, a question we normally don't ask people, you know? And and sometimes, like, we normally ask people, like, oh, how you doing? It's just, like, part of, like, the routine. It's not, we don't really care how you're doing. Like, you know, not saying me to you, but, you know, but I'm saying, like, when you walk down the street and you ask, and somebody says, hey, bro, how you doing? You're like, I'm good. How are you doing? You don't even really wait for the answer. You just keep walking.
Right. It's just pleasantries.
Yeah, it's just that's really all that is. Not saying you don't care, but most people really, they're like, man, I'm just... As long as I can pay my bills and I have a house and a car, like, I'm good. I'm sorry if you don't, you know, but. Sorry if you can't pay your bills. But yeah, I feel like that's a big thing now, man. And we talk a lot about that, you know, especially with the older guys. You know, like he said, you know, sometimes we crash and we're like, what are we doing, bro? Like, you know, that's not really a mental health issue, but I guess it could become one if we keep racing, though, knowing that. Like, this is getting crazy right now, bro. Like, you know, we miss the work and breaking stuff, and we're like 50 years old racing little kids' bikes, and
yeah,
that's the issue, bro.
Does your sister? You said she races, or she used to race?
Used to.
Okay.
Yeah.
So why did she stop? And when did she stop?
I think she just never was in it as much. She didn't like it as much. But she stayed racing to get the college, the Bob Warnke. Mm-hmm. So she stayed racing for that, and now she's graduated, so she did.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but she did probably a few races. Not any nationals or anything, but.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
Do you do clinics, or do you do any training?
I do not.
Is that something you would like to do eventually?
Eventually, yeah, I think it'd be pretty cool. Just to help some other people get better, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that is something in the future I would be trying to work on.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't, like I said, I don't talk very much, so.
You don't need to, man. Say, just here, watch me, bro. You know, that's all you got to say. Just watch, keep your eyes on me, man, and just get your pen and paper, bro, and that's it.
No.
Right?
You don't need to say a word, man.
Yeah.
Might want to teach this dude something, man.
Who, me?
Yeah, man, because he only pedals like 3 times in a whole race sometimes. It's just we're trying to get him to pedal at least 4 times. So, I don't know. We're working on it.
I mean, that's all he needs. Right, I made mains the last one couple times. So, I guess we're good. You have anything else you want to add in, Sharon?
Are you going to ask any weird questions like you usually do? Like, are you scared of ghosts or believe in crop circles? Or was there really a man on the moon? You're not going to ask him that?
Sure, why not? Do you think he went to the
moon? I don't know. Never really paid attention to that one.
Okay. Do you go down the rabbit hole on any conspiracy theories?
No. I'm not a fun guy. I'm not a conspiracy theorist or anything. Just
oh man, I love them. It's like even if you don't believe in them, just when they go, oh this, and it goes this way, and this way, and you're like, oh man, that sounds fascinating. That's better than a movie. What else happened?
I know some people where like they have to do a certain thing for this to be ready for a national. You have to do this certain thing.
Yeah, like a ritual, or something like ride. Burning candles.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So
yeah,
I guess we're good, man. We appreciate your time.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, and we're good, right, Shannon?